Good morning, Texas. Here we are, program number 16. The goodness of God is the program. Let's spend this week, entire week, let's go through some of the smaller items, smaller pieces of meat, I guess. Easy to chew, easy to swallow, taste fantastic. Just little different parts of the buffet that we're going to look at here. And if we start right off with Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8, along with the phrase goodness of God, or the words goodness of God, Paul also calls them the unsearchable riches of Christ. Riches of Christ, unsearchable. Nobody can find them except by following Paul, is what he's saying here. Now, if you remember the other day, we talked about the Jews, Romans 11. Well, verse 11, remember it said to provoke them to jealousy. And verse 14, provoke them to emulation. They want to get them to want to have, to want to be what a Christian is, to be what a Gentile saved would be. They would want that. That is Paul's goal. That is Paul's desire. That is Christ's plan, is to get the Jews to want, to provoke them to jealousy, to provoke, get them to see it, provoke them to emulation, to emulate, to be what it is that a Christian is. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, they're called spiritual blessings. So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And what we see here is, if we're going to get these unsearchable riches of Christ, if we're going to understand the goodness of God, if we're going to learn what it is that Christ did for the Gentiles and to the Gentiles based on their faith still, they had to have their faith in Him, and then He would give them the whole platter, which includes Him, Himself, His faith. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, be ye followers of me, that's Paul, even as I also am of Christ. Christ is the risen Savior. Two reasons we know that. One, Paul talks about Christ, the Lord Jesus, Jesus Christ. He mentions that quite often as the risen Savior. Plus, we know that this is where Paul, he's met Christ after the crucifixion, after his death and burial. So that's what we're talking about here, is also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things, and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. They're not laws. These are things that Paul says that we should be doing. And we're just going to follow him, and we're going to learn about him, learn about his life. Our lives will be similar to his, and to learn what it is that he teaches, and to learn his manner of life, he calls it. That's your day-to-day affairs. How do you spend your day-to-day? Now, let's look at Philippians chapter 4. And you'll see in verse 9, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. That's Paul. Do. D-O. Do. Those things which ye have both learned in Paul and received from Paul and heard from Paul and seen in Paul's life and his writings. Do those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. He doesn't say the peace of God. He says, and the God of peace shall be with you. You want the God of peace? You look to Paul for your apostle, for your teachings, and he will teach us these unsearchable riches of Christ. We can find those things. Now, let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. This is the chapter that got me started. This is the verse that got me started many years ago for me to think about this. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us, how ye ought to walk and to please God. You want to walk and to please God? You've got to learn it from Paul. Following Peter's teachings is not the way to please God. Following Jesus' teaching to the Jews through the apostles, all the signs and miracles, that isn't what's going to please God today. What pleases God is to follow Christ by following Paul, not imitating Christ, not imitating Paul, and just learn from what Paul teaches us from the risen Savior. That's what this whole program is about. And that was what Romans chapter 2 calls the goodness of God. And it's that goodness of God. It's these riches. It's these spiritual blessings. It's these things that Paul teaches us about the marvelous goodness of God that should lead people to repentance, should change their lives. Then it says at the end of that verse, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, comma, so ye would abound more and more. Abound more and more. Well, what is that? Is that just better houses, better cars, better health? Not at all. We will get into those things this week. But you know, before we get into those specifics and details, let's look today at how Paul even came about, how this whole thing even came about, how did it get started. Let's go to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Acts 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 7 is when Stephen was killed. Chapter 8, verse 1, and Saul was consenting unto his death, Stephen, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the region of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Then you've got Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch and those things in there. We go to chapter 9. This is where Paul comes onto the scene. Now, if we were to imitate Paul, we would expect the very same thing in our lives to happen to us. But as we learn, as we get going, that isn't what takes place. This is how Paul got started. Now, let's look at verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Paul was a bad guy. Paul was a nasty guy. Paul was as nasty as they could come. So if you think that Christ can't save you, and you think that Christ can't bless you with his spiritual blessings, and you can't learn these riches of Christ, and you can't get into this thing and get a fantastic joy out of this, not saying you have to follow the law. Paul's teachings are not the law. There's a grace involved here, but there's also an effort to lead a life that pleases Christ, pleases God, following the Bible. So if you think you can't get, you can. Paul, look what Paul did. Verse 3, and as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord. See, Paul knew right away who this was. And the Lord said, I am Jesus. Okay, I did that verse already. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. Now, somebody's going to say that there's a contradiction. We'll talk about that someday. There is no contradiction there at all, with a different reference somewhere. Let's just keep going to this trail this morning. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. Ananias wasn't too thrilled about this ministry here all of a sudden. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. See, if it wasn't for Paul, us being Gentiles, we wouldn't have what we have today. Now, I know if it wasn't for Christ dying and being buried and raising again, I realize that. But if Christ hadn't gone to Paul, us Gentiles would have had to hear all this from the Jews. Well, the Jews weren't too big on spreading this around the whole world. It's called the Great Commission in its day. And it died out when they killed Stephen. So we wouldn't know about this stuff if it wasn't for Paul. He is a chosen vessel unto me. God chose Paul. Chosen for what? To bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Okay, verse 17. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales. And he received sight forthwith, and arose, and was baptized. So if somebody's out there saying, see, Paul was baptized, we should be baptized too. No, we'll talk about that on a separate day. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. See, there's a value to meat. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples, which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Now, why would Paul preach he is the Son of God? Remember, that's what the Jewish people had to come to believe, that Christ was the Son of God. He's not talking about any faith in Christ. He's just convincing these people that he was the Son of God. Christ was the Son of God. 21. But all that heard him were amazed and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent? That he might bring them bound unto the chief priests. Everybody knew who this Paul, this Saul guy was. Not Paul yet, he was Saul. Everybody knew him. What is he talking about? Christ is the Messiah now? What is this? But Saul increased the more in strength, kept growing, and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. So there's what the scene described on the outside if you were watching from the bushes as such. Oh, by the way, notice in verse 23, and after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. And that response to Paul's teachings hasn't changed much today. So there's the outside view. Now, what does Paul say that took place during that time? So let's go to Acts 26, and I'll show you what Paul says took place and what he was told. Now, you will be hearing some noises in the background, probably. We got some thunder boomies, some good ones, and a pretty good storm going on outside, so just ignore those background sounds. Acts 26, verse 12. Here's what Paul is telling Agrippa. He has a chance to give his testimony. By the way, let's look at verse 1. Paul is thrilled at that opportunity. We should be thrilled at the opportunity, even to talk to people who call themselves Christians, to be able to talk to them about the risen Savior. Christians all tend to believe that Jesus Christ died and buried and rose again. For some reason, they don't realize they're not being taught what he teaches after he's risen. This is what Paul is all about. I mean, ask your pastor, ask somebody, why are we studying what Jesus taught to the Jews when he hadn't died? He hadn't even fulfilled the law yet. And when he died, was buried, and then according to Hebrews 9, that's where the New Testament begins, is after the death of Christ. And when Christ came back and went to Peter to go to the Jews to start the Great Commission, and then the Jews killed off Stephen, and then Christ went to Paul, and those are the teachings from the risen Savior to the Gentiles. Why aren't we studying those, Pastor? I don't want to just hear a couple of verses. We should dig into those things. My judgment seat will be based on what Paul teaches, his manner of life, to my manner of life. Romans chapter 2, verse 16. So here's Paul. He's thrilled at this opportunity. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently. Then he goes on, talks about his child, he goes on, talks about his life. When he gets down to verse 12, what we just read, this is what Christ told Paul. Here we go, verse 12. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, saying in Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Now this is what Jesus says to Paul. But rise, and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. So Christ is telling Paul, you're going to minister and be a witness of the things that you've seen and the things I'm going to tell you in the near future. Verse 17, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. So he has to take them away from the Gentiles to get him to preach to the Gentiles. You know what I mean? You know, it's hard for a pastor to be friends with his congregation. It's hard, well, it used to be. It's hard for the teacher does not have to be friends with his students. Paul, delivering thee from the people, Jews, and from the Gentiles, separating from all these people, unto whom now I send thee, and then go back to these people and teach them what they need to be taught. And here's what his purpose was, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Doesn't say by having faith in him, it says by faith that is in me. That's the faith that is in Christ. There's another reference to the faith of Jesus Christ. Are sanctified by faith that is in me. Notice it says, from the power of Satan unto God. It doesn't say from the power of Satan unto the power of God. We don't have the power of God. People think there's power in prayer. And you find out when you study that that's not true. We need to pray without ceasing. Paul teaches us about prayer. And I will show you these things about prayer. But for those people that are disappointed and disgusted and have left God because they've prayed and they've prayed and they've prayed and nothing happened, nothing came out of that. Their pastors will tell them it's because they have no faith. Pastors will tell them it's because their life isn't good enough for God to answer their prayers. They'll teach you how your prayers are hindered by certain things in your life. None of those things are true. None of those things are true. So we are turned from we have our eyes opened. Now we can see things we never could see before and turn them from darkness to light. And from the power of Satan unto God. Now, God has the power to deal with things. But we don't have the power of God for us to be the magical, healing person. And we'll get into that at another day. Don't let that be discouraging. God's prayers are not hindered Your prayers are not hindered to God during this dispensation of grace, not at all. Well, why doesn't he answer those prayers? Well, we'll talk about that as we get into it. But it isn't because you're doing something wrong. It isn't because of the sins in your life. It isn't because you're having a squabble with your wife. It isn't because your faith isn't strong enough. That is gospel teaching during the Jews, and that's millennial stuff. That's tribulational stuff. That is not today. That's the goodness of God. He'll hear your prayers. We'll get into them. That's bunny trail. It's actually a bunny trail to another complete trail. Okay, let's keep going here. Verse 19. We better read verse 18 again. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. By the way, have you ever tried to tell somebody something that you can see but they can't see? You try to describe it to them, they can't see it. And they're not going to see this without the risen Savior. They're not going to see what you see without an open King James, rightly divided Bible. They're not going to see that. Could be why so many people are against what you're trying to tell them. Could be why so many people were against Paul, that they tried to kill him. They had a conspiracy against Paul to kill him. And they still have that conspiracy going on today. Anyway, we'll talk about that in another day. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. Wow, marvelous thing there. And inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus, and at Jerusalem, and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, and do works meet for repentance. Do works meet for repentance means doing things that shows that you have changed somewhere, somewhat in your life. Verse 21. For these causes, the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. Remember, Paul doesn't have Romans 2, Philemon, 1, 2, he doesn't have that stuff. He's talking about what the prophets and Moses say should come, and Christ has come. You know, if you go through the prophecies in the Old Testament, every one of those has been fulfilled. And I want to say that to the Jews, I don't understand it. All the prophecies in your books have been fulfilled by this man Jesus. How come you guys still don't want to believe that? Never had that opportunity. Okay. Saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. And what did they say should come? Verse 23, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. Remember, Gentiles were dogs to a Jew. They weren't even considered a people. They were considered a dog. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, and this is what people say to me, this is what they'll say to other people that follow the risen Savior by looking to Paul in the King James Bible, thou art beside thyself, much learning doth make thee mad. Not angry mad, you know, nuts in the head mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus. See, he was polite to Festus, notice. I'm not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. This is how Paul got started. And we will continue where Paul got started with a little bit further into his life and these marvelous goodnesses of God, these riches of Christ, the benefits, the abounding more and more. So looking to the risen Savior through Paul in a rightly divided King James Bible. That's what this program is all about. And before we totally close the program today, let me just make a request that I would sure like to hear from you folks out there. In Dallas, Fort Worth, I guess there's, I don't know, 5-6 million people. How many listen to this radio program, I have no clue, but I would sure like to hear from you. Whether you appreciate it, whether you don't like it, whether you disagree, whether you agree, whether you've never heard this stuff before, it sure is interesting. You know, whatever. I'm game for anything. So you can go to the website still, www.scattered, as in scattered bird seed, you know, scatteredchristians.org. You can also email me. Email is sousaman at Bechtel.com. Spell it out. Well, I sure will. SOUSAMAN, B as in boy, E as in egg, K as in kite, T as in total, E as in egg, L as in Laredo. I think that's Wyoming, though. Sorry, not a Texas town. So, Sousaman at Bechtel.com. Sousa is my favorite band director from the U.S. Marine Corps. He wrote the Stars and Stripes Forever. He was considered the March King. We'll talk about him someday. Some of the greatest and cleanest music you'll ever listen to. But I would like to hear from him. I really would. And if you really want to, you can call me on my cell phone number, 509-876-1611. Of course, it'd be 1611, the King James Bible. But really, I'd like to hear any thoughts you have at all, even the fact that you're just listening in and, you know, whatever. So I hope to hear from somebody soon. And if you want to throw in support, I guess I should ask for support. But I don't do this for the money. We just hope we can keep the program going for as long as we possibly can. But I just like to hear from you. So I'm hoping that we can hear some emails or some phone calls or something special this month. We'll talk to you in the next program.